And so peace is one where we take the time to not only know ourselves, but we take the time to know the other. We open our hearts for people, even in the context of that we may not agree. Yeah. But I can say that I still love you and I see you as my brother and as my sister. And that's the pursuit of peace for me.
Welcome to Peace Talks. In this episode, Bishop Todd Hunter and Katie Hasseltine discuss our most recent conversation with Steve Prince. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to Peace Talks so you don't miss out on any of our brave conversations. At the end of the episode, I invite you to join me for a 10-minute contemplative meditation. Here's Bishop Todd Hunter and Katie Hasseltine.
So, Katie, I was struck by Steve's idea of social justice art. I don't think I'd ever seen those three words together before, but that's probably shame on me. I'm sure there's lots of artists out there who have been aware of doing their work with like a prophetic bent to it. I loved hearing Steve say that art has a capacity to help us see what's hard to see. I just think he's right about that. Mm-hmm. You know, cognition is one thing and logical arguments and those things, they're all fine. But man, when you think of the capacity of art to help us see, for instance, the truth of the past,
yes.
To help us, you know, have a vehicle for helping us to know the other, like his work on Black womanhood. I just found that whole thing really fascinating and packed with potential that for a lot of us who are stuck, art could be a doorway to social justice.
Yeah, I think he is incredible. His portfolio is incredible. And he offers so much. I also, fun fact, found out ahead of the interview that he was a professor at a college in my tiny, tiny hometown in Pennsylvania.
Go figure.
Wow. 2017, he was a professor at Kenny College, and he did an installation about the zipper.
Because, oh my!
You may not know, but Talon, the zipper company, was began in my tiny hometown. It is no longer there, but yes, he. And even when he was explaining to me that project of the zipper, he was explaining to me how a zipper, the two sides, how they go together intricately.
Yeah, the teeth go together. Yeah.
So he was using that as an analogy of bringing people together.
Oh,
so
beautiful.
I'm hearing what you're saying about that. And it's also reminding me of what he said about peace. And I'm going to read this so I don't get it wrong, but we are thinking more and more about peace as we're digging into these justice issues. And
yes.
I thought this definition was so interesting, and I would love for you to respond to it. He said, so peace is where we take time to not only know ourselves, but we take the time to know the other. We open our hearts for people, even in the context that we might not agree with them. But I can say I still love you and I see you as my brother and as my sister, and that's the pursuit of peace for me. The pursuit of peace is finding that common ground that exists between us. It also means that I have to accept people. And knowing that whatever interactions I have with people, it opens me up to change and to my own personal evolution.
Yeah, what I heard Steve gently prodding us towards, at least people whose temperament leans towards peacekeeping. And mm-hmm. I suppose there's a lot of temperaments and, you know, biographical stories that make a certain person, like millions of us, I think, more oriented towards peacekeeping, which is a different thing than peacemaking. Mm-hmm. Like when Steve talks about opening our heart and accepting the other, those sorts of things, those are activities that don't just keep the peace. They take like social, personal risks to make peace,
yes.
to actually, you know, reach across our divides or over fences or, you know, whatever the most apt analogy is. I heard him calling us to something like that, and I think it's super important because so many people do mistake peacekeeping You know, just like keeping everything sort of settled and don't rock the boat. That's actually a very different thing than peacemaking. And I love the little tools I think he's given us for peacemaking.
Yeah, I agree. And I think even further on in the interview, I was really struck as a spiritual director when asked, how do you maintain your strength or your ability to create peace? Because he was really clear about the creation of peace.
Yeah.
And again, back to that zipper of bringing people together.
Yes.
It's a movement. It's an action. It's not passive, kind of what you're moving to. It's not just letting things go and making it all okay. And he just talked about the first thing was keeping a strong and centered prayer life. Mm-hmm. And but then I thought it was so interesting. And of course, breathing. He said breathing.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But then I thought that the other place he's finding a lot of strength to be a peacemaker is in traveling. And just as a director, I really appreciate people who expand our vision of what a spiritual practice is.
Yes.
Because it's about intent. It's about how you do and why you do what you do. And I love that for him, there is something, what he said was seeing new places, meeting new people, seeing different cultural rhythms, and experiencing beauty.
Yeah.
Changes him and grows him and strengthens him. And so I really did appreciate this view that he gave us of the world and of being a faithful follower of Christ and of creating spaces for justice and peace and formation to occur. I really appreciated this interview with him.
Yeah, I did too. And I really appreciate your little wrap up there, because if you just say the word peace, like if you're doing word association, everybody would have warm, fuzzy feelings about it, right? It's like saying puppy or kitten. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves peace. But we have to become the kinds of people who both would and could pursue peace and pursue peacemaking. And I think what you're alerting us to is that it does take some work, some cooperation with God, the Holy Spirit, in all the various spiritual disciplines, including the creative ones that Steve pointed us to.
Yeah. And I've heard it said by so many people and seen it in my own life that that counterbalance with beauty for the difficult, for the places where their peace is lacking is what's needed. So I just was grateful that he drew us there, and I'm glad to talk about this with you today.
Welcome to today's Lectio Divina. As you enter this time of sacred reading and holy listening, I invite you to begin by taking a few slow, deep breaths, reminding yourself that you are already fully in the presence of love. We begin with intentional breathing to quiet our minds and soften our hearts as we become attentive to the Spirit. Today I'll be reading a mashup of the poem Caged Bird by Maya Angelou and Matthew 10 verses 28 and 31 in the NIV. As I read the passage twice in the first movement, your invitation is to listen for a word or phrase that stands out and captures your awareness. Then use the silence that follows to linger with the word or phrase and turn it over in your heart. Unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on a distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. And Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. for you are worth more than many sparrows. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on a distant hill, for the caged bird sings songs of freedom. And Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, for you are worth more than many sparrows." In this next reading, as your reflection of your word or phrase deepens, there may be a feeling or an image that comes up for you. You may sense an invitation toward confession or lament or gratitude. Perhaps a creative idea or prompting may emerge. Use the silence that follows to respond to God honestly, with the fullness of your heart. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on a distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. And Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, for you are worth more than many sparrows." In this final movement, simply rest deeply into the reading, allowing what has transpired to just be between you and the Spirit, remembering that it is not your responsibility to cling tightly to what has taken place between you and God, but that God will hold it and return it to you throughout the day whenever you have need of it. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on a distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. And Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, for you are worth more than many sparrows." Thank you. as I close this time of sacred reading and holy listening with a prayer, I invite you to remain in silence for a couple of minutes. You may feel compelled to use words or to journal about your experience, but know that for right now, words are not necessary. Our invitation is to bring our awareness of presence with God into our everyday lives. Jesus, tune our ears to hear the caged birds' songs of freedom. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Peace Talks, a production of the Center for Formation, Justice, and Peace. Each episode is produced on Yuchi, Shawnee, and Cherokee land. Our theme music is created and produced by Charlie Lowell. For more information about Peace Talks or the Center, visit centerfjp.org or follow us on social media at centerfjp.